We're going to turn our attention now on byline to Washington, D.C., where the Courier-Journal's D.C. correspondent, James Carroll, has been watching the dust settle from yesterday's health care ruling and other major developments in the nation's capital. Welcome back, Jim.
Thanks, Rick. Thanks for having me.
Well, where were you yesterday when the ruling came down? Where from what vantage point did you cover it?
Well, I was poised, this modern age, poised at the computer, trying to gather comments and reaction as fast as we could get it once the decision came down.
It's hard for me, at least, to believe that in this age of communication that the court was able to keep the decision a secret.
Isn't that amazing? I actually tweeted that yesterday. I said it looked like the Supreme Court is the only branch of the federal government that seems to be able to plug leaks and prevent leaks. It is truly amazing.
It's unbelievable. Well, of course,
I made on a SCOTUS blog or somewhere else, somebody said that before the decision was released, about 70 people knew what it said. So those are 70 incredibly discreet individuals, for sure.
Wow. Sworn to secrecy. Well, political reaction predictably came along party lines. Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky raised some hackles when he basically said, well, I don't care what the justices say, this law is still unconstitutional, even though several say it is.
Yeah, I think the takeaway is that, those who did not like the health care law before the decision yesterday still don't like the health care law. And those who did like the health care law before the court ruled yesterday, they still like it. The difference being now that you have Justice Roberts, who was an appointee, a Republican appointee, siding with the more liberal branch of the court. In basically upholding one of the central features of the health care law, which was the requirement that everybody be covered by health care. But this is not deterring, of course, people like Senator Mitch McConnell, the Senate Minority Leader from Kentucky, and others who are all still pledging to try to kill it, either in pieces or in toto, in some manner if they can. The difficulty with that, of course, is McConnell doesn't have full control of the Senate. The Democrats control the Senate, and Barack Obama is still in the White House for now. So they're going to have to elect Mitt Romney president. They're going to have a Republican control of the Senate. They do have Republican control of the House, but that's a few steps too far right now to predict how that's going to come out. Of course.
Well, what impact? Excuse me. What impact do you see this having on the presidential election going forward? The campaign, I should say.
It's difficult to say because this has been already a prominent issue in the campaign. And as I just said, those who are inclined to dislike this signature program that Obama and the congressional Democrats passed, they're still going to hate it, and they're still going to vote. Many people are going to vote against Obama just for that. But on the other hand, I think you see a lot of analysis that the bottom line beyond health care is really the economy. And, where's the economy going to be in November? And that'll probably be the most dominant issue. Now, there may be ways you can wrap elements of the health care argument into the economic concerns that people have. I know, Senator McConnell has already sort of shifted gears a bit and talks about how the court, confirmed what he always thought, which is that requiring people to carry health insurance, and if those who do not carry it are penalized, then it's a tax. So they're going to push that very hard. The Democrats, of course, are feeling pretty good that it looked kind of dim for them for a while. I think a lot of people, even some Democrats, probably secretly tell you they were worried about whether this the requirement to carry health insurance would survive the court's review, but it did. So they have the constitutional argument on their side. But it's the merits, basically, and how politicians are going to phrase it between now and November that will really determine how long this law survives politically and how much of it survives.
We're going to be talking with, on another topic, Mary Beth Schneider of the Indianapolis Star about this shortly. But what's been the reaction, as far as you've seen it, in Washington to Governor Mitch Daniels accepting the presidency at Purdue University? It looked like he would end up in Washington in some capacity.
Well, I guess some people just won't believe a politician when he says, I've made a decision and I'm going to stay out. Daniels made that decision not to run for president. He kind of was courteous about being considered for vice president, but it was very clear that wasn't his it wasn't his preference at this time in his life. And I think in Washington, people for now have said, well, okay, I guess Daniels is not going to be on the national scene. Now, I should remind you that we've had presidents before who were presidents of universities. Garfield, mm-hmm. Woodrow Wilson, and Eisenhower. It doesn't shut down the door all the way, but I'm sure Mitch Daniels would hope that all the chitter-chatter would stop for a while.
Yeah, it looked like to some he would end up in Washington, I guess if Romney won the election, some sort of cabinet position or in some other capacity, even if Obama wins the election. But he's going to Purdue.
Going to Purdue, and, that's a major job, and I can't say that I don't know the particulars of what he told them or promised them. But I assume, that's a major commitment, and you're committed to the university at least for some time period. And so I would be very surprised if he jumped out of Purdue and went to Washington into a Romney cabinet right away. I don't see that happening, but I could be wrong. We're always wrong. So that's our motto, always wrong.
That's right. Back to the election for a moment. As far as what kind of role will Kentucky play in the election? Didn't pay much attention to it last time, especially Mr. Obama. But what are we looking at between now and November for Kentucky?
Well, the state is pretty much considered a lock in the Electoral College for Republicans. So other than fundraising visits that might be put together somewhere for Romney or for Obama, I don't think you're going to see a lot of campaign rallies. I know everybody thinks we've already spent plenty of time on the campaign, and there's plenty more. It's ad nauseum. It's never going to end. But, after the summer is over, the amount of time left to campaign in the swing states is going to be very compressed. And both Obama and Romney are going to concentrate on the swing states. And, very frankly, Kentucky is not a swing state. It increasingly looks like Indiana may not be a swing state either, although that's still depending on the experts. Some will say that, well, it depends. But right now I'd say that the feeling is that neither Kentucky nor Indiana are really looking to be the key focus of either campaign in the fall.
James Carroll is the Washington Bureau Chief for the Courier-Journal. I forgot to ask you, James, we're pushing 100 degrees here again today. What's it like in D.C.?
About the same. I understand. I must confess, I've changed station, and I am actually up in New England, where it is much cooler. But I don't think I should tell you how cooler.
No,
that's very nice.
Well, we don't want to hear it. Well, thanks for joining us on your day off, and enjoy your time in New England.
Thanks very much, Rick.